Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stop, it's time, Match Day Edition, New York City come into town, and Mike and I are playing musical chairs tonight on the broadcast.
I just hope I don't break the camera. I don't know what they're thinking, but yeah, Kevin had to go to Saudi Arabia, so I'm in for Kevin on Bally, Jason's in for me on the radio, Jeff Lorenowitz is in for Jason on the radio, so I'd say listen to the radio. Because I'm telling you, that is going to be cerebral tonight. I mean, if John Chuckery or Rob Tribble is the cerebral assassin, then you're going to have the cerebral assassins in the radio booth tonight. I'm really looking forward to hearing Jeff's perspective and obviously your perspective without me kind of dragging you down a little bit. And I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to do a game on TV, and Jill and Mo and Anthony, their producer, they've been awesome. So I think we're going to have a really good time tonight. It's a big match. Let's not focus on all of the broadcast changes because that is so secondary. This is a huge match. New York City is going to be desperate because they have only won one of their last nine, and it was against Cincinnati. Atlanta United has earned the second most points of anyone in the league next to New England since August 1st. But yet, Atlanta United is only 2 points clear of New York City. And it's interesting, Jason, we went into Saturday, New York City was fifth, Atlanta was eighth. At the end of the weekend, Atlanta was fifth, New York City was eighth. Mm-hmm. Tonight, there's a scenario where New York City could be fifth and Atlanta could be eighth again. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. So New York City is going to be desperate. I think Atlanta United is going to maybe not be desperate, but urgent because in reality, even though you got the 3 points at Toronto, we'll talk about the Toronto match and unpack everything that happened there because there was a lot. Even though you got the 3 points in Toronto, I think the mindset still needs to be you've got to get all 9 points out of these next three home matches just to know that you're going to be safe going into Red Bulls in Cincinnati the final week of the year.
Yeah, and this is the best team you're going to see at home the rest of the way in New York City. You're facing two teams that one is eliminated at home in Toronto. They're officially eliminated after the loss to Atlanta on the weekend, and Miami is all but eliminated after their recent losing stretch. Let's jump back to Toronto because we've learned that I think there was confusion from the TV side because of the way the game's being broadcast. The announcers for TV were not there on site. They had the feed from, I guess, TSN in Canada was producing it and sending it back. And they missed one really important element that I think adds to the story of the major incident in the second half. At least initially live, the Jozy Altidore intercepting the throw that was intended for Anton Walks to return possession to Atlanta after George Bello had kicked it out intentionally with Ezekiel Barco on the ground, that was not shown, at least live. And that's a huge piece to this. Like, yes, it didn't impact the Barco and Auro butting of heads, and we'll talk about that in a second. But I was blown away. Like, it was as shocked as I've been watching a game to see somebody with the stature of Jozy Altidore, and I think the cachet of Jozy Altidore and everything he's done in his career, do something that is very against the unwritten rules of the game, the sportsmanship elements of the game. He can feel like Ezekiel Barco is making a meal of the contact with Auro all he wants. But everybody from Toronto, except for Jozy Altidore, knew what was happening there. I think Jozy knew what was happening there. He intercepting the ball, stepping in front of Anton Walks, trying to start an attack. It gets cleared. That created an incident in the penalty area that Atlanta was defending, with a lot of people coming together, arguing, lots of shoving around, nothing serious. But it also took referee Timothy Ford's attention away from the return of Barco and Auro to one another, which is where the whole incident had started. Auro kicked Barco from behind. Referee didn't feel like it was a foul. That happened a few times in the night. He had also, I think, kicked him harder earlier in the match that was called a foul. He had shoved him a couple of times on long balls where Barco's going up for a header to flick it on. Auro had shoved him in the back. Those weren't called. So this time there's contact. I don't think it's a fact where there's no contact. Barco goes down. Foul doesn't happen. Barco stays down. Atlanta has the 1-0 lead. George Bello plays it out of bounds. One, to waste time because Barco's down. Two, to make a point of, hey, our guy's getting kicked over here. Well, then when the throw-in happens and everything gets restarted, Barco and Auro, and I didn't see exactly what triggered them coming back together outside of they had just been jawing for a while. They come back together, and I saw that pretty quickly. I never saw anything that, in my opinion, met the threshold of violent conduct. They were walking towards one another. Yes, they were leading with their heads. Yes, they bumped heads. Yes, they touched foreheads. They're arguing. I didn't see either one rear their head back and headbutt the other one. Both coaches, when asked about it after the game, all the players who were asked about it after the game that I've seen quotes from felt like it didn't need red card. That kicked up a whole nother element of nonsense with trying to get Barco to the tunnel after Auro shoved him a few more times after the Reds. Then you have players from Toronto like walking in front of Barco to create more disturbances as he's trying to get to the tunnel, and then Atlanta coaches trying to clear the way, and it goes and goes and goes and goes because of the decision to give Reds. And Timothy Ford didn't see the incident.
Right.
Javier Perez said that the AR on his side in front of him, the Toronto coach, said that AR recommended the red cards. And that was where that came from, because Timothy Ford could not have seen it. He's dealing with the repercussions of Jozy Altidore's situation with the throw-in. It was looked at. It wasn't overturned. It was appealed by both teams. It wasn't overturned. So Barco's out for tonight. But it was one of the craziest 5 to 8 minutes that I can really remember seeing live in Atlanta United history.
Me too. I certainly don't remember a mass confrontation in Atlanta United history that had the element of spilling into the tunnel and staffers coming together. And I thought that was really the ugliest part of the whole thing. The Barco Auro thing, I thought that was going to be a tricky red to overturn, because ultimately it does come down to a judgment call. It is interesting that it was sent down to the monitor. I don't know if the Barco Auro interaction is what was looked at, or if the VAR just sent a general, I recommend a review to just look at everything.
Yeah. We know at least the Barco Auro part was looked at, because they did show that part being looked at on TV. But I do wonder if there were other elements looked at too.
It was a quick review. But again, long story short, it does come down to a judgment call by that AR who made the recommendation. And those judgment calls are very, very difficult to overturn on appeal unless there is a very, very clear and obvious error, such as the Jake Mulroney red card in Nashville, where there was a very, very obvious error made by the referee who did not have a good angle on the play, and then an extreme dereliction of duty by the VAR. And we heard the conversation between the VAR and the referee. Oh, yeah, he got all ball. He got all okay, check complete. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how it worked out that way, but that was very clear and obvious here. When you deal with a judgment call, especially when it comes to an altercation, it's going to be hard to overturn that.
Yeah.
Because it has to be unanimous. All three right. members of the independent review panel have to agree. Even if there's one dissent in that group of three, you're not going to get the overturn. So it, in the respect of the red card not being overturned, no additional suspensions coming out of it, the finding of both teams violating the mass confrontation policy, and nominal fines handed down to Rob Valentino of Atlanta United and Richie Larea of Toronto for escalating the situation in the tunnel, I have to be honest with you, I think the disciplinary committee got everything right. I really do. Now, what stinks about it is Atlanta's punished way more than Toronto.
Yes.
Because Toronto is out. They're eliminated. They have nothing to play for now. Okay, so you get RO suspended for a meaningless match that has no impact on their playoffs whatsoever. Eh, no big deal. Atlanta United loses arguably one of their three best players tonight. For a very, very important match against New York City. So the punishment is more severe for Atlanta, even though the punishment is the same for both teams. Mm-hmm. That's frustrating, but unfortunately, that's kind of how it goes. And perhaps in the heat of the moment, Barco may have needed to show a little bit more restraint, but it's hard in that
really
moment to remember in the back of your head, oh, I could be suspended and miss a match, and they don't have to worry about baiting me into a suspension because they're going to have nothing to play for. So I can only go so far in saying, oh, yeah, Barco should have shown more restraint, because in the heat of the moment, it is really, really difficult.
Yeah.
I do not apologize for what I said about Jozy Altidore. I thought the incident that started all of this was a Bush League play by Jozy Altidore.
It was.
To intercept a throw-in that was clearly intended for Anton Walks because Atlanta United put the ball out due to an injury, was highly, at the very least, impolite, if not unethical. And Anton Walks had absolutely every right to step to Jozy Altidore then and hold him accountable for doing that. I thought that was shocking for a player who's had an illustrious professional career, has done many good things for the U.S. men's national team. I think has been harshly criticized for what happened in 2017 for something that was not even remotely his fault entirely. So I like Jozy Altidore as a player a great deal, but I was shocked that he would do something like that. That was a Bush League play, and it sparked this incident. And it's just, it's really, really unfortunate. It also kind of lights the fuse a little bit for what's to come in a couple weeks, because Toronto is coming to Atlanta. This is not the last time these teams are going to play. And I think the referee assignment for that match is going to be really, really important by pro. And I would not be surprised if you saw someone like Jair Marufo or Alan Kelly or a very highly respected referee who has good command of matches like that, because that's going to be a tinderbox. And it makes the win sweeter, in my opinion, mm-hmm. because of all that chaos that happened. But a lot of it was avoidable. Long story short, though, I think the league got the postscript to it correct.
Yeah, I would have agreed if they'd overturned the red cards, but I was with you, and I said it, I think, as much on the full-time report. I didn't expect them to. It's a judgment call. It does get tricky when you start overturning judgment of referees and VARs on a regular basis from the disciplinary committee. It doesn't mean that they didn't get it wrong, which I think they did. There's a higher bar to overturn it in that, and there wasn't enough there to overturn. They could have gotten out of that game, because so much of refereeing is is judgment and managing the temperature of a match. They could have gotten out of that with yellow and gotten everything calmed down. You wouldn't have had the tunnel incident. I don't think if you had done well, you wouldn't have had it at all if you hadn't done that because you wouldn't have anybody going
to
the tunnel.
Because no one's being sent off. Yeah, that's a great point.
If you'd went to yellow, you could have gotten out of there better than you did. And I think that was the way to go. Referees disagreed. They gave the Reds. I don't have any problem with Barco's actions in it because I don't think he was the aggressor. I think there comes a point where, you know, Alro had kicked, had fouled him, had pushed him, had kicked him again that could have been a foul, had gesticulated over him as he was on the ground. I mean, there comes a point when he gets in your face, like, what are you supposed to do? You know, I wish that I had it in me to walk away in that situation. I don't know if I could have done it either. So I understand it. And even after the Reds, I mean, Barco turned to walk away. Alro shoved him a couple of times as they're walking off the field. And that's when Barco got heated.
By the way, I felt the player most guilty of violent conduct in the entire match was a player who didn't even get shown a yellow card the entire match. And that's Richie Larea.
Yes.
Now, he was fined for his role in that tunnel dust-up, but I think a lot of people forget, not long after the mass confrontation, there was an Atlanta throw in front of the Toronto technical area, and I can't remember I think it was George Bello, but I'm not positive.
Bello.
Richie Larea threw George Bello into the Toronto technical area.
Yep.
And then in stoppage time, he just starts body-checking and kicking people out of frustration. That, to me... Like, if you want to go back and re-referee some of the game, that bothered me. I thought the player most guilty of violent conduct in the entire match was not even booked.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. The other thing that bothers me, Jason, and we've talked about it before, is... I feel like Barco is getting picked on a little bit. And he's certainly getting picked on during matches because he gets fouled like crazy. And that's part of what makes Barco a very, very good, valuable player. He gets fouled a ton, creates a lot of set pieces for Atlanta United, scores on some of those set pieces too. But my problem is there's been a clear pattern over the last 4 years when Barco is playing that he's going to get kicked. Ezekiel Barco is not a simulating player, in my opinion.
No.
And
no.
I feel like the fine he got for simulation a couple weeks ago, I think it was a home match. Can't remember which one.
I think it was comical because if he doesn't jump out of the way of the tackle, he might be injured.
Exactly. But they call it simulation. Now you're going to fine him for not leaving the pitch in a timely manner, even though he was trying to get off the pitch.
He was trying.
And he was going to be confronted by Toronto players, which is why Rob Valentino had to protect him. Rob Valentino didn't shove anyone. He took his hand.
He stopped them from continuing.
Richie Larea's chest. Not Larea, Nobuokele's chest. to keep him from following Barco down the tunnel. But Barco was trying to get off, but you're going to fine him for not leaving in a timely manner, even though his path to the dressing room was blocked. There's been a pattern now where I think Barco's getting picked on. And the problem is it seems to me that if you're fining him for simulation, you're planting the idea in referees' heads that he is simulating. And I don't think he's a simulating player. Miguel Almiron was accused of being a simulating player many times by Orlando fans in 2017 and 2018. Miguel Almiron did not take dives. He was not a diving simulating player. And I just think there's been a very dangerous line that is being drawn here on Barco that's going to give opposing players maybe a little bit more license to foul him hard, because the idea has been implanted now in referees that Barco was diving. That concerns me a great deal, and I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right at all. The whole thing on Saturday started because Barco was kicked from behind by Aro. And it was not the first entanglement they had in that match.
No.
Not by a long shot.
Not the first time he was kicked from behind in the match.
No. No. But again, he's not diving. He's not pretending to be kicked. He's being kicked. And I say that totally objectively. That's not me as the Atlanta United announcer. I say that totally objectively. The replays speak for themselves.
Yeah. There's a line here. I want to be clear in it, because I think at times, you know, look, it's happened to me too, where I've seen contact on a field on a tackle and you think it's a foul and you see it and it's like, well, no, he got to the ball. Yes, there was contact afterwards. No, that's not a foul. Every incident where there's contact and a player goes down is not a foul. And has Barco accentuated times where he has been hit to try to get a foul? Yes, yes. That's different than simulation to me. That's a different conversation. I think where you're not touched and you feign injury or feign that you were hit in the face, like, those are the ones that I have issue with.
Right.
Barco goes down when people are sliding in or kicking at his legs. The one that he was given a yellow for simulation and then fined for, it is a nasty challenge coming in at him, to the point that when it happened live, I didn't think there was any way they're calling him for simulation, giving him a yellow then for that. I thought it was for dissent.
By the way, Opta didn't think so either.
Yeah, initially. A bunch
they
of
put
people
it
didn't.
As dissent.
Right, right. Because it didn't look like a dive. It looked like if he doesn't, he's going to get clobbered and potentially injured. And this is what happens to very talented players in this game at times. And I don't want MLS to get a reputation where it's okay to kick talented players who are good on the ball on a regular basis. I don't want that to be encouraged. I don't want that to be celebrated. And I don't want somebody who gets kicked on a regular basis to be branded as a diver. I think that's very unfair. And it happens. Look, it's happened here in the city at times. And I think it's incredibly unfair. We should be celebrating players who can do what Ezequiel Barco does on the ball, what Miguel Almiron did on the ball, what Pity Martinez did on the ball. Those are players you cherish. Those are players that you want in your team, that you want to develop on your own. Those are special players. Marcelino Moreno has that ability. He was fouled 9 times in Toronto. That's a crazy number of times getting fouled with no yellow for persistent infringement. Referees have the ability to caution teams, and it doesn't have to be the same player fouling the same player over and over again, but when a team is consistently fouling with intent to break up attacks or targeting a player who is just getting the better of them, yellow cards can be issued. It is far too rare in Major League Soccer that teams get yellow cards for persistent infringement. It happens once every few games. And that's ridiculous. With the amount of fouls that Atlanta gets on a regular basis from teams, and some of these games, and this is another one where there was a large number of fouls and incidents, and there were 2 yellows given, 1 early and 1 in stoppage time that meant nothing. That is not enough. The league should want attacking soccer, and to have attacking soccer, you don't have talented players get kicked out of games. It's got to change.
Hey, I mean, we've talked a couple times about how there's a point of emphasis this year that transition fouls are supposed to be automatic yellows.
Allegedly.
Not only are they not automatic yellows, they're barely yellows at this point of the season. So one final point, because we got to talk about this big match tonight. I've seen a couple people say that I'm too hard on the referees, and you're absolutely entitled.
I can't wait to see what they've said about me with referees.
I acknowledge that the referees in pro have a very, very difficult job.
Yes.
I couldn't do it. I don't know if Jason could
I want no part of refereeing.
It's hard. It would hard to be encouraged to be a referee.
Yes.
Like, there's a referee shortage right now in this country. I wouldn't want that job. All the verbal abuse you have to take and all the second guessing. It's a hard job. So I don't want anyone to think that I don't respect the job that the referees in this league and in pro are doing. I absolutely do. It's a very, very difficult job. And for the most part, they get it right. But I'm talking about something that can potentially become a player safety issue. Mm-hmm. And I think the number one job of the referee is to arbitrate the match in such a way that players don't have to fear for their safety. And I feel like the lack of persistent infringement yellows that we've seen consistently over the last couple of years, the lack of yellows we're seeing on the transition fouls, can create player safety danger. So that's my point. It's nothing personal against the referees or anything like that. The standard's got to be higher. I was blown away, by the way, and this isn't a player safety issue. I was blown away, pleasantly surprised, to see pro publicly rebuke some officials in a USL championship match and disqualify them from reffing their next match.
Yeah, they had to in that case because that was a horrible mistake.
And it was an incorrectly allowed goal.
Disallowed
goal, excuse me. It was not a player safety thing or anything like that. But we need more of that.
Yeah.
You know, we can't bury in the definitive angle or bury in inside video review, oh, pro would have expected this to be a red card. No, you've got to come out and you've got to hold yourself accountable publicly because we've heard Phil Neville talk about this. We've heard Darren Eales talk about this. The oopsie calls that you're getting every week from Howard Webb, that doesn't go far enough, I'm afraid.
No, there's got to be better planning across the board. Before we get to NYC tonight, I have a bigger issue with consistency. I have a bigger issue with referee development. It's not about individual referees. I do think there are some who have shown they're not at the level of certain games in MLS. I think there are some who are still getting booked on a regular basis who have not developed, who have not grown into the job. And when their job impacts the job security of coaches, of players, you have to take it seriously. And if they can't cut it at that level, they need to go back to USL Championship and work there. The good referees in USL Championship need more opportunities to come up to MLS and show if they are at that level, further down to Division III and so on. There has to be a better identification process for top referees. There has to be a true development process. Right now, it feels like it is a assessment kind of process. They look at referees. You did good. You didn't do well here. This affects your future assignments. All that's great. But having a virtual meeting about persistent infringement or transition fouls and things at the beginning of the season and then no follow-up is not good enough. It's not changing anything. There has to be money and resources, because that's what it took to improve the coaching in this country. There has to be that put towards referee development, or it's not going to change. Referees should not be getting booked and moving up the ladder because of politics, because of assigners or pro people who book for different leagues, liking this person, not liking this person. It has to be on quality. It has to be about promoting consistency in the way the game is called. And I do truly believe that the game in this country needs to prioritize the attack and creativity and not incentivize teams to kick the best player on the opposition out of the game. That has to change. I hope it does. I'm going to keep beating that drum for it to change, because that's how I think the game gets better in this country.
Well, we've spent a lot of time on Toronto. It was a really good win, though, for Atlanta United, 2-0. You know, there have been a couple occasions lately where you could say, all right, unexpected 3 points on the road. Maybe the DC match, unexpected 3 points on the road, but you got it. Now you have to take advantage of it. You have to build on it. I don't want to see him taking a step back tonight with Barco being out. New York City's interesting, and in a way, It reminds me a little bit, James, of the spot that Toronto was in where their center back depth was not optimal going into that match. They had to play an exhausted Kamar Lawrence the whole way. He got burned on the Moreno goal at the very end. When Atlanta United got it to 10 aside without Barco, without Joseph playing, they were still very, very threatening and able to run at Gonzalez and Lawrence. Now you have Callens suspended for New York City. Ibiaga is no longer on New York City. So they've got a problem at center back tonight. I'll be curious to see how Pineda sets up the team without Barco to challenge the center backs that they do have.
Yeah, because they really only have one true center back in Alexander Callens. With no Maxime Cheneau, James Sands can play center back, and I think he is better suited to being a center back in a three setup or as a six dropping in between the center backs and staying when he needs to. You don't have that luxury tonight. You could, but you're going to have to manufacture it. You know, does Tavon Gray, who is young and is really just starting his professional career, who has come up as a center back but has been traditionally playing as a right back for NYC, does he get the start as a right-sided center back? That's the one I kind of keep pointing at, unless you're going to go even further off the board and play Torrensen or Edmundson as a left-sided center back to keep that. Do they go to a line of four with Gray as a right back, with Torrensen as a left back, with Sands and Callens? I think Sands is a little bit of a liability in that situation. I also could see NYC coming in and defending a little bit deeper tonight on the road. A point is good for them to try to turn their confidence around a little bit. They'd like to get more, but this is a team in NYC right now who has not scored in four straight games. Their last goal was on September 22nd in the 31st minute. Longest stretch in club history without a goal. They've only got 9 points out of their last 33 available. They're questioning their confidence publicly. A point would be huge for them. And I do think they play this one a little bit safer, but it's going to be hard without a traditional back line to lean on. They are dangerous in the attack, even with those numbers that I just said. They haven't scored in a long time. Tati Castellanos, even with that, and this is crazy, involved in 11 of NYC's 14 goals since the start of August. That's the second most in MLS in the time frame, even without them scoring in the last four games. 8 goals, 3 assists since the beginning of August. Everything runs through him. 13 goals, 7 assists on the season. He's the key man. If he is anonymous tonight, Atlanta wins. If he is not involved, Atlanta wins the match. You can do that a couple different ways. You can shut him down when he's on the ball, and I think he will be a challenge to do that. He's a very, very good player. He's one of those guys that'll get under your skin as well. He likes to kind of ride the line of trying to provoke players. He's very good at that. Alan Franco will have to keep his head in this game. I think Miles Robinson, Anton Walks can do that. I'm not worried about them, but Alan Franco will be tested in this situation. Jesus Medina has been poor lately, although he started the season really hot. Maxi Morales is very dangerous. I think if you cut off the supply line to Castellanos, you can really neuter NYC's attack in a pretty good way.
It's an interesting night because Atlanta United could end anywhere from 4th to 8th in the East, depending on how the other matches play out. But they're not going to have Barco. Joseph, we don't know yet. Sound like he went through a full day of training yesterday, yeah. So we'll wait and see on him. But it's a big match, and as Jason said, it's probably the toughest of your three remaining home matches. You get 3 points tonight, you're really going to be well-positioned. Again, 7 o'clock, the pregame on 92.9 The Game, Sirius XM Channel 157, Atlanta United app, Odyssey app, it's on Bally Sports South, and by this time next week, we'll be back to normal. That's a good thing, because... I'm scared out of my mind for this TV. hopefully it'll go okay. Hopefully we'll get 3 points on top of it. And we'll be live with Stoppage Time next week. It'll either be on Tuesday or Wednesday once our schedules are determined.
Yeah, I will try not to wreck things on the radio. I make no guarantees, but I will do my best. I will have some fun with Jeff. I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about those holding midfielders and guys like Sands, who is really doing a lot of what Jeff Lorenowitz did in his career as a 6 slash center back, and I want to pick his brain on that. I want to pick his brain on Santiago Sosa and Atlanta's defense, and there's going to be plenty in this game to kind of pick everybody's brain about. Maurice Adu will have a lot of great insight, I think, on those positions as well. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. 7 o'clock tonight for pregame in all the places, 7:38 kickoff, and yeah, the weekend is off. There will be games in MLS this weekend, a lot of them, a lot of very important ones. But the weekend for Atlanta United, for the last time in a really playable window, this is the last break they'll get going into the final stretch of 4 games in, 2 weeks at that point. So buckle up. Need 3 points tonight. We'll be talking about it with y'all. Have a good match day, and we'll be back with you next week on Stoppage Time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.